All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you to bless our minds that we might understand your word, walk therein, and be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him by way of the Holy Spirit. God, these are trying times again that try men's souls. The souls are being tried to find out, hey, what side you're on. Are you faithful? Are you committed? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Or are you just hypocriting around? God, manifest your power, manifest your presence, bind the devil and all the imps at his command. And God, set at liberty those that are bruised, open blind eyes, heal the sick, cast out devils. Freely we have received and freely we give. As we broadcast across the worldwide web via live stream, wake these people up out of this comatose condition where the devil has actually divined a spell that's making them asleep at the wheel, sleepwalking, but yet wide awake outwardly, but inwardly stone cold asleep. God, stir folks awake before this thing actually implodes and they find themselves lost. It's a time for a move of God. It's time for a refreshing from the Spirit of God. It's time for a new paradigm to take hold on the human race as Almighty God raises up an army and rises up to lead that army, just like you led Israel out of Egypt by way of a cloud and a pillar of fire. Lead the church home away from this world. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're talking about a Holy Ghost awakening. A Holy Ghost awakening. An awakening means that, hey, somebody's asleep. You got to be awakened out of a deep sleep. It takes a Holy Ghost awakening to wake people up out of this slumbering, sleepy state. It's amazing to watch it. But folks are walking around in a religious stupor, totally oblivious to impending disaster and not wanting to be told about it. That's the real curse, that the folks don't even want to know about it. Just keep me in this stupor, keep me dumbed down, don't wake me up, and let me just live out this fantasy and be damned at the end of it. Notice how anybody that begins to accost somebody with truth is immediately hated. That's the sleepwalker. See, the truth will liberate you. The truth will wake you up. But you're offended by the truth because I don't want to be awakened. I'm living in this matrix. I'm living under the auspices of the devil's control. And you offend me by waking me up. Now, you got to know this about the church. The church is called to be the consciousness of a nation, the conscience of a nation. It makes you conscious of God, but it's also pricking your conscience to make you aware of the fact that you're not living up to God's standards. So you're becoming conscious and it's pricking your conscience at the same time, waking you up to God and then making you aware of the fact that I'm not living up to the standards of God. People are cutting out of the Bible the things they don't like. Have you noticed that? People will talk about anything in the Bible, but what they don't like about the Bible. I want to talk about the grace of God, but not the judgment of God. I want to talk about the love of God, but not eternal damnation. You know, the Bible talks about people that God hates. But I just want to talk about God's love. See, we got to wake up out of what I call a cookie cutter salvation, where you cut around stuff in the Bible that you don't like. You got to eat the whole roll. You got to eat all the scriptures to be made free. You can't cut out what you don't like. So what happens is, when a person is living outside of the auspices of God, anybody telling the truth becomes an enemy to them if they still like the filth they're in. Why is that? Because I'm a rebel against God. I got to expunge God from my thinking to stay in my rebellion. So you make me aware of God. I'm conscious of God when you talk. I'm reminded of my state. I'm reminded that I'm not living up to the standards of God, so I need to get rid of you. See, if you would shut up, or we can kill you or something, anything to make you go away. And of course, the religious person, the way they reflect the fact that they hate God and hate you for speaking for God, is the first thing out of their mouths is, you're judging. When you hear a religious person say you're judging, that's a damned, demon-possessed sinner talking to you. Write that down and grant it. You can't live without judging. You judge everything you do every day, and you judge people all day. You don't go down here to the red light district where they're selling dope and killing folks because you judge those people to be evil. If you don't judge, go down there tonight. You won't come back. But everybody is discriminating. Everybody has to show preferential treatment to things. You have to judge to live. You see how stupid that is? But they've got some silly doctrine preached into them by some old false pimp preacher to protect himself, telling them you can't judge anything, so I can drive by in my Lamborghini and splash mud on your shoes and you can't say anything about it. Touch not the Lord's anointed and do his prophets no harm. And they got people brainwashed in the religious matrix to believe that anybody that says anything about anything is a lunatic judging people. You've been brainwashed in the devil's matrix. You've been driven insane by false, stupid doctrine, and now you're walking around espousing that filth to people talking about your judging. So it's time to separate from the judge not cult. Come out from amongst them. Because they're lunatics bound to the world. They're not deceived. They're actually hiding their sin with that judge not stuff. They're doing dirt, so they're yelling judge not. It's a trick of the devil, it's a cult, and it's nothing but religious filth that's designed to protect sinners within the confines of churchianity. I'm making it clear, precise, and concise today. I don't have time to fool around with folk anymore. We got to call out the body of Christ, fine-tune them, and prepare them for departure from this planet. Leave the rest of them behind. He says you got to come out from amongst them and touch not the unclean thing. Separate unto God, which is called the process of sanctification. After salvation comes sanctification, separation from. See, folks are trying to incorporate themselves with sinners, trying not to offend anybody, not trying to be too different, trying to still hang with my boys and still hang on the block and still want to run with my girls, my dogs. You're going to hell with your dogs. That's where you're going. Because God requires sanctification, separation from that which is filthy. You can't incorporate yourself into filth and think God is going to accept you. When any somebody tries to bombard the Omega Facebook group site, they always put pornography out there, trying to bombard it with pornography. And we got to go through and clean off the pornographic filth. And then it gives you some depiction of how filthy and degraded and depraved minds are. That stuff they try to bombard the site with is so depraved that you wouldn't believe a human being could even look at this. And people are actually doing this stuff every day. We're living in an asylum. Earth has become an insane asylum. And folks want to walk around in it and pretend that it's normal. Look at everything. Look at politics. That's crazy. Look at TV shows. They're crazy. The halftime of the Super Bowl is crazy. Everything is lunatic. I saw a couple of young girls the other day had gone to the beach. They had on swimsuits that had a strip over their vaginas about that big and thong straps on. And they're at the beach running around like they're normal people. It's something wrong with you. You went and bought this, and then you have the audacity to come outside wearing it? And then take pictures of it and put it on Facebook for everybody to see you, and you don't understand that you've lost your mind? It's something wrong with you. Folk think that being sexy is now glamorous and stylish. A sex pot, where did it come from? They fed them with Eve and Black China and Amber Rose. All these folks, strippers and porno stars now. That's just what they feed them, a steady diet of. All these folks from the island, like Nicki Minaj and Rihanna, they're used to the carnival and getting naked and walking around in thongs all day. So they're feeding this stuff into these young girls, making the girls unrestrained sex freaks. And now it's now bleeding into society with all these weirdos and freaks walking around trying to act like they're normal. There's something wrong with you. Nobody writes all over themselves with ink and thinks it's beautiful. That's like your third grade kid coming home having taken magic markers and written all over himself. And that looks good on you. Just leave that on, son. That's beautiful. That artwork. You see how crazy that is? Why would any human being, an adult, mature human being, write all over themselves and walk around as if they're normal? It's something wrong with you. It's something wrong with your mind. Something got into your mind from the time you were born until the time you became an adult and twisted your mind enough to have you go down to a tattoo parlor and write all over yourself and run down the court in the NBA with your hands raised, shouting and yelling like you're a big shot. Is something wrong with that person? You see, we're in this realm of lunacy. We're in an insane asylum, and everybody wants to just stay quiet and say nothing as if everything is normal. When you were out there sinning, if that spirit got a hold on you, you were losing your mind. That's why you were doing it. How could you at 13 have no thought of writing all over yourself? Then by 18, you're covered in ink. Something had to get a hold of you from the time you were 10 to the time you were 20. Something intruded into your mind, warped your thinking, and now you're thinking it's beautiful. You actually believe this looks good. Is something wrong with you? See, the gospel seeks to retrieve people back from insanity. You're already insane. You come to Jesus Christ, two things, insane and a sodomite. You're an insane sodomite when you walk in the door and God saves you. So now you have to have your mind radically renovated to accommodate God. See, God can't walk with your insane sodomite mind, so he has to transform your mind according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. He has to renew your mind according to Ephesians chapter 4. You got to be renovated. So your thoughts align themselves with God because you've been driven into madness. Everybody in the world unsaved is insane. So as they discuss things with you with a Harvard degree, educated, intellectual, academic, but insane. Think about what I'm saying. I got my doctorate, but I'm insane with a doctorate. How do you know? Their lust drive them still. They're still fornicating. They're still committing adultery. They're still drunks and still snorting the cocaine. You got doctors who know the damage that cocaine will do to you that snort cocaine. You see how crazy it is? Marijuana destroys brain cells. Brain cells don't regenerate. So you're actually destroying your own thinking capacity smoking dope. So now you walk around doped up all the time with DUH stamped on your forehead, just as dumb as a box of rocks, dumbed down, can't understand anything, can't articulate anything, can't read anything and comprehend it, all because you impugned every fabric of your ability to understand anything because you dumbed yourself down. So now the devil has gotten to a place where he's dumbed down society to the level that he can dominate society because the people are so dumb. You can make them do anything. They will emulate anything. When you're arrested in your development and your intellect has been impugned, all you can operate in is sight and sound. You emulate what you see and hear. So you put Lil Wayne in front of people, they'll start looking like Lil Wayne, talking like Lil Wayne. They'll become Wheezy. Sherman Hemsley's wife owned the Jeffersons. Wheezy. I think they had a Super Bowl commercial about that, calling him Wheezy like he was married to Sherman Hemsley as his wife, and they called him Wheezy on the commercial. But that's how stupid it is. You put the person in front of them, and everybody will become Beyonce in the flesh. They're trying to be Beyonce. You see, one thing Beyonce did, marketing herself, she had enough sense not to get a lot of tattoos, because the white middle class section of the market wouldn't buy into it. She got just hood enough to make the hood rats like her, but not too hood so that middle class white person wouldn't like her. She's not stupid. The ones that market to the straight hood, they covered in tattoos. The Nicki Minaj's and Rihanna, they just, you know, they kind of bleed Rihanna into the middle class a little bit. She's probably going to be the next Super Bowl girl because they're prepping her. Because Beyonce, 30 years old, she's getting old, so they got somebody they bringing up, and Rihanna going to probably be the next girl to let have a Super Bowl halftime. Because she will get naked, and she will twerk her butt in your face. That's all the requirements you have to have to be a Super Bowl performer now. This is how warped it is, and it's happening because society has been dumbed down. So if you preach the gospel without tuning up and acting like a fool, and putting on a show and entertaining people, guess what happens? People can't adapt to it. They can't accept it because you're not acting like a fool. You're conversational. And that offends them. Did you know that? That when you tell a person something conversationally and you speak to them like a normal person, that a dumbed down, arrested person gets offended by you. Know what they're going to tell you? You're trying to be better than me. You're talking like a white person. You think you're better than everybody. See how y'all dress and how y'all think y'all. That's that arrested state. So what do you do if you're arrested? It's just like water. It runs until it finds what? Equilibrium. You'll stop moving when you find something that's compatible to the inside of you. Notice how some women don't deal with certain men. You know why? Because they can't handle those men. Well-dressed, articulate guy, sharp guy. I saw a young guy the other day, about 22, 23, he just got out of college. He was working as a bank teller. The guy was immaculately dressed, well-groomed, haircut, articulate. I say we need about 50,000 of those guys. But guess what? The booty-shaking twerk girl around the corner can't deal with him. He'll say, hello, how you doing? Hey. And she'll just, you know, stumble on off, twerking, you know, twerking as she walks, you know, twerking down the street, walking with twerking or walking, you know. You're so twerked out, now you walk twerking. You know. Man. What's wrong with you? You've been driven insane. See, the fly girls, the strippers, the hood girls, they can't deal with a man. They only deal with sissies, sodomites, wimps, freaks, folks they can dominate, and guys full of lust. That's it. When a real man steps up, they run away fearful because they're not a woman. You got to be a woman to walk with a man. And since you're not a woman, a real man does what? He offends you and terrifies you. They're the ones that walk in the store and open the door for themselves and walk in. If a guy stands and opens the door for them, they feel funny. You know why they feel funny? Man. Huh? They're a whore. Whores don't expect special treatment. I'm just the old slut. I'm just a whore. So I bull my way through life trying to act tough to hide what? My whoredoms. The fact that I'm nothing inside, I'm compensating for it by trying to act like I'm on top of my game. I got all the designer bags. I got the red bottom shoes on. I got all this. I got about 5 different piles of weave on my head. You know, about 75 different colors. My nails look like lobster claws. I'm walking around about half crazy, but it's all overcompensation for being a whore. See, when you've been whored out, you got to overcompensate on the outside for how you have become on the inside. You did it in the world. Everything you did, all that big talk you were doing and how you don't nothing bother you, and I don't care nothing about these dudes, you know, hey, look, I'm on top of my game, you know, I'm doing it, I'm a boss hoe, you know, I'm handling some things. They refer to themselves as female dogs and hoes. All my bees, we going out tonight to the club. My bees, we going to be running tough tonight. I got my squad with me. And everybody just hoard out and crazy. And that's the common denominator that yokes you together with them. Birds of a feather still do what? They flock together. You get a nice, virtuous girl in that group, they won't like her. She thinks she's See, I told my daughter, I said, listen, on any given day, you can become a whore. But if you're a virgin, a whore can never become you.
That's right.
See, that's the separator. You got three women, one virgin and two whores. Any day, the virgin can become a whore. But the whores can never become a virgin.
That's right.
That's lost. So what are they going to do? Try to make the virgin into a whore. So I can separate, stop that disparity between us. I got to make you into what I am. As soon as the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah, the first thing the homosexuals did was bring them out that we may make of them what we are. That's what the Hebrew interpretation is of the word know. When you know somebody intimately, you are making them into yourself. The Bible says it this way. If you lie down with a harlot, you, man, become a harlot. You lay down with a whore, you get up as a whore. That's why they walk around with slide shoes on and white socks, with their pants pulled down, cupping their butts, all tatted up, with their hair sticking on top of the head like it's matted up Brillo pads, with nap knots and lint all in their head, walking down the street like Aunt Jemima. Looking crazy. That's my man. And two hoes fighting over him. Putting stuff on the internet about it. I wish a B would come and try to take my man. And you look at a man like, what? I saw one girl arguing saying, y'all just don't know. He laying up the rest of y'all, but y'all ain't the first lady. Y'all ain't the main one.
Wow.
I'm the dime piece though.
Wow.
So y'all don't know. You don't know what it's like to be the dime piece. He come home to me. He lay up with you and come home to me. As if you're valuable now.
Wow.
That's the dumbed down man. I'm telling you, this thing is real bad and it's real deep. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's worse than you can imagine. It's bad. Real bad. If you go into high school, middle school, or elementary school, you'll see how bad it's about to really get. I dare you to go to an 8th grade or a 9th grade class or a 10th grade, 11th grade class in a high school. What's about to hit the street next is going to be animalistic.
Yeah.
There is no next generation after this one. This is the wrap. Because if they had kids, they'd be giving birth to animals.
Yeah.
We're already looking at manimals. But when you get straight animals born from two human beings, it's time to reel it in now, buddy. You can't work with this. There's nothing to do. I had a teacher about to retire from middle school tell me, really, Price, I believe the next phase of everything is just going to virtual school. Because you can't conduct class in school with all the distractions that are going forth, with all these students wanting to disrupt the class. I can't teach it. So we got to call out the ones that really want to learn, and they're capable of learning at school, at home, because they really wanted to learn anyway.
Yeah.
Data dump the dummies, write them off, build more jails to house them, or begin to exterminate them on the street. You see what the police are doing? This is an extermination process. This is the Gestapo. This is excess troops on the street getting rid of undesirables. I tell these young black boys, you talking that big talk, trying to be Lil Wayne or Jay-Z or whoever you trying to be, 2 Chainz or whoever you trying to be. But buddy, you ain't going to live to make it to 20 years old because they're going to get rid of you. Because you're a useless feeder to the new world order. You bring nothing to the table. You're of no value whatsoever. And they are giving orders to exterminate you. Vaccines. Stuff sprayed in the sky with chemtrails. Extermination is in process. It's being processed. They're getting rid of useless feeders. They got to reduce the population. Why do you think they're aborting all these kids? The majority of kids are black kids being aborted because they're useless feeders. You sit up in the hood and having 3, 4, 5 babies out of wedlock. They're going to come up in the hood, be non-productive, non-contributing members of society. We got to find a way to cut this off at the pan, so we're going to go in and abort them before they're even born. Man, this thing is crazy. Then you filter homosexuality through the rap music. Now you got all these black boys becoming homosexuals, not even knowing where it's coming from. Because the homosexuals are the ones rapping to you. These boys been bent over a desk in the producer's back room, pounded into their behinds to make him in the homosexuals, put the homosexual in the rapper, and then put the rapper in your ear, in your earbuds, turning you into what he is. And now the next thing you know, you walking next to your partner looking at his butt wanting to get in it. Because you've been divined upon by a homosexual spirit. Why do you think Tupac walking around with an Aunt Jemima head rag on and people worshiping him? And a reflection of an effeminate woman in a man's body, and folk lift him up as if he's Jesus in the flesh. Why do you think Kanye West standing on stage next to Jay-Z in a skirt? Why do you think Usher up there in a skirt? Why do you think Will Smith's boy walking around in full drag? Why do you think Magic Johnson's boy is a flaming homosexual? Man, wake up, man. You don't like me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to save your life. And then I made the enemy of the state. You're looking at this in real time, sitting here brain dead in a coma, asleep, and watching the thing just come on shore, taking folks over. That homosexual and lesbian spirit is embedded in the rap game. Why do you think these girls becoming lesbians like wildfire now? It's turning young girls out one after another. Their friend is now becoming their sex partner. And the girls don't even want a guy anymore. Highline strippers go with each other. Or they got that thug girl in the audience waiting on her to get off. You can put $50 in that G-string, but you better not touch it. Because that thug girl in the audience is packing a 45 too. And she will kill you over that stripper. And the stripper don't even deal with men. She got that body to take the money from the men, but she take that money home to that gangster girlfriend she got. That boss girlfriend, that boss chick she roll with. This thing here is warped. Warped. Drive-by strip club in Atlanta. Now, I used to work at night in Atlanta. Drive-by strip club, you know what you got wrapped around the block? Women. I'm talking about fine stallions standing in line to get in the strip. What y'all going to strip joint for? This is what we pick the dudes up from. I got to look like and be a stripper because the strippers get them ready for me. And I go and finish them off in the club. So you know what they're looking for? Lust filled, stank, effeminate, crazy, freaked out, low life, scumbag guys. What else could you pick up in a strip joint? Think about what I'm saying. There's no valuable commodity going into a strip joint. So now you have become this degraded, debased, depraved individual having to go and scum and scrub around in a stank strip joint to get a half of a man, a third of a man, a tenth of a man, a piece of a man. And they'll tell you, well, girl, a piece of a man is better than no man at all. You warped in your mind. You've been brainwashed. You've been driven insane. We live in a society that is insane. It's become an asylum. And we sit here looking at it, and church folk are a part of the problem, not the solution. They're sitting in church right now, jumping around and running around and shouting around and acting a fool, and go home full of nothingness and just plug right into the schematic of the matrix. They have no bearing on anything. There's no improvement. There's no difference even. They're just the same people that go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, but there's no appreciable difference between them and the world at large. This is insane. This is an insane asylum. So God, you can see God, he's systematically going and getting one or two people here or there. He's hand-picking individuals that he is saving himself, because the vast majority of people are damned. They won't even come to God to be saved, because you have to go through the arduous task of sanctification, pruning, cutting out the debris, taking out the defiling elements out of your life. And the Holy Ghost has to awaken you out of this stupor, and they begin to change you as he exposes you to himself and making you into the image of Jesus Christ. This is real life right now. This is undeniable. Nobody can debate what I'm saying, because it's happening. You'd be a fool to try to challenge me what I'm saying right now, because it's happening in real time. You're looking at it every day. A guy walking down the street with his pants cupping his butt with his drawers, his behind out now, his whole behind out, just walking down the street with his belt down about mid-thigh, sometime almost to his knee, just walking with his belt, just walking down the street. Illiterate, can't even write his name, can't read, hadn't read a book his whole life. Think about a guy that's 25 years old that has never read a book. Wouldn't even think to read a book. And if he read it, he can't comprehend it, can't understand it. Don't you know that if you have a limited vocabulary, you can't read a book? You know why you can't? You can't understand the words. That's why people don't read. They can't understand the words. When we came up through elementary school, you had phonetics. You had your vocabulary words, whereby you had to get your vocabulary words and the definitions and memorize them. What were they doing? They were preparing you to be able to read. You had to sound out the words. They taught you how to phonetically sound out your words. They taught you how to put together all the different things required for English and writing properly and understanding things. But now, you got a generation of people that are offended by anything that makes sense. It's got to be couched in ignorant, junk, jigaboo, nigger beats. Yeah. See, if you niggerize it, I can understand it and comprehend it. But if it ain't niggerized, I can't understand nothing you just said. So I got the hand that's niggerizing it. You just niggerized it good enough for me to comprehend. I got that now. I understand what you said now, bro. It's funny now. It ain't gonna be funny tonight when they take your stuff at Walmart with a gun to your head. When they kicking your front door and robbing you, it ain't gonna be funny. Ask Daryl. How the boys came in his house and kicked in the door and robbed, took all the church equipment. See, that's where we're going. It's funny now. You better have a laugh now, because it ain't going to be funny in a minute. Because an ignorant, dumbed down, arrested person with nothing is going to take your stuff. It's going to happen. They're going to take your stuff. So the police are out there now, being proactive. Well, we'll see where this is headed, so we might as well begin to exterminate these folk now. That's why, you know, a young guy, he need to get saved now, because tomorrow he's going to be dead. And even if they kill you, at least you make it into heaven. That's how it goes. We are on the cusp of something happening. It's something about to change. It's going to be a paradigm shift, and the world's going to change forever. Nazi Germany is a precursor, a forerunner of the end times. Nazi Germany was a controlled society, and everybody was watched. The Gestapo were the secret police that watched everybody. You had to pledge allegiance as a judge. You had to pledge allegiance to Hitler. Everybody had to pledge allegiance to Hitler. See, that'll never happen here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, the rule of law for which the flag stands. You just pledged allegiance to abortion. They made you swear allegiance to abortion in your second grade class every morning. Because you didn't just pledge allegiance to the flag. You said, I pledge allegiance to the republic, the rule of law for which the flag stands. They are already programming you to be anti-Christ. Your allegiance is to the state at the expense of Christ. When you hear people talk a bunch of high-tech, high-level, patriotic stuff, beware. That's anti-Christ. They run around trying to do a good work, they think, for the republic and the land and the law and the Constitution. You better beware of all this InfoWar stuff. Sounds good. You think they're doing a work for the United States and the Constitution and the rule of law and conservative things. Amen. We're here to preach the gospel, extract the church, and leave. We're not here to try to maintain and sustain the United States of America. You don't see any disciples, nobody, plugging into any kind of political movement. Jesus did not plug into a political movement. He was a man sent from God. His forerunner, John the Baptist, was sent from God to extract people from the world, not to engage in it to try to change it. We're not world changers, Creflo Dollar. We're world enders. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness, and then the end shall come. And that's why people back away from this with both hands. They're terrified of it. They're terrified of what I'm saying. But they'll be damned on the Titanic and go to hell terrified. It's bad now to be afraid of the wrong thing. You need to fear God. That's the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
You're scared of the wrong person. You're scared of the devil and not afraid of God. He says, don't fear the one that can kill the body. Who did he tell you to fear? Fear the one that after he has killed the body, he can cast your soul into hell. Jesus said and admonished us to do what? You better fear him. Because that's eternal damnation. Temporal pain and anguish of dying here, that won't last forever. But eternal damnation and torment forever, you better fear that individual. Man, this thing is dumbing people down so badly that I'm seen as somebody that's negative. I'm always talking about people and judging people. That's the brainwashing. It's got folks so badly brainwashed that they're stepping back from the only thing that can save their souls. And the sodomite spirit in a person will never come to the gospel. An effeminate man, castrated in his heart, will never approach the gospel. A butch dyke woman will never approach the gospel. Because the very life type is the antithesis of God himself. They can't get close to God because God didn't create them. So the truth of the gospel all by itself will push them back unless they want to repent and change from what they are. Now all they'll do is stand back and throw stones at the gospel. Oh, I don't think he should have said it like that. He shouldn't have said that about niggerizing things. That's not appropriate. I don't believe they should. That's all they'll do. They won't step into the fire, but they'll look at the fire, warm their hands at the fire. But buddy, you got to get in the fire. Everything is about to change. I talked to Rashid yesterday. He said, man, the gas out here is $1.31 a gallon. It's $1.49 over here in McDonough. It might be lower somewhere else. What is that out there?
149.
149? Now, you got enough sense to know. If the gas is almost $3, they ain't lowering the gas down to no $1.49 for nothing. They lulling somebody to sleep. They rocking you to sleep. And then they try to tell you the economy is getting better. Employment numbers are coming down. You better monitor whether or not a person is unemployed or underemployed. Guy was making $80,000 a year, now he's making $25,000. He can't sustain himself and his living. His standard of living had to be lowered. They lowered the standard of living. You had a house, now you live in an apartment. Now you're living with your mama. Now you and your mama over at the shelter. They brought you down and made you think they were taking you up higher. When the stock market is crashing and houses are foreclosed in, what you're getting is a wealth transfer. Somebody taking the stuff. They're extracting money. See, money is not extracted. Money just changes hands. It's a commodity. It didn't just go away. It went somewhere else. The bank knew when you wrote that 30-year mortgage, you were never going to pay it. And to make sure you wouldn't, they imploded the economy. They bottomed it out. So you lose your job, and they get the house back. Rent it or sell it again. And keep turning it over. And every time they do the deal, somebody extracts some money. See, we live in a land and a world of larceny. The Bible says the rich man is the one that hates God. Because he has what? He has his own kingdom that has replaced and displaced God's kingdom. I hate God because my kingdom is in the here and now given to me by Satan. And I don't want Jesus around because I rule my kingdom and he is an effrontery to me and my kingdom. So what do they hate? They hate the person that preaches the gospel like I'm doing right now because I might just affect and infect other people with this way of thinking, and that's going to make them extract themselves from the matrix. And if they extract themselves from the matrix, the casinos will have nobody gambling. The dope the rich man is bringing into the country to make money. Don't you know the dope game is really a business run by rich people that all law enforcement knows about? Every once in a while, they'll make a bust to make you believe we're fighting it. Las Vegas is closed down. The dog track and the horse races are stopping. Sin makes money. Nobody's watching porno. Nobody's watching the TV shows. People don't care about sports anymore. That's what the gospel will do to you.
Yeah.
So they hate the gospel because the gospel cuts off the money, because the appetite that's feeding on the lustful things they present has been diminished by God as you're transformed. So they hate the gospel. So they dumb down the people and make the people hate the gospel too, so they'll stay bound to them making the money.
Man.
They control you over the airways of the media, making you believe, hey, that guy's crazy, that's a cult, he's a kook. Notice how people, they'll look at this ministry and say, that's just a cult. That guy's crazy. What am I saying that's so crazy? And they go right to Joel Osteen, right to T.D. Jakes, right to Creflo Dollar, right to Kenneth Copeland. That's normal. But this is a cult telling you to individually gird up yourself, go and see Jesus for yourself, get full of the Holy Ghost, and follow him. How is that a cult? Don't follow me. Don't follow folks. Go to the feet of Jesus and get full of the Holy Ghost and follow him, because that is eternal life. Fast talking and a bunch of shouting and running is not eternal life. This young guy, Marcus Rogers, on the internet, all that fast talking, the guy walking around in an army uniform, that guy's delusional. One is Pentecostal. He's going to deceive you and carry you right to the pit of hell listening to that trash. But you're caught up in emotionalism and fast talking. 500,000 people hitting it thinking that's God. People can be deceived by anything that's entertaining and emotional. The gospel will make you what? Contemplative. It'll make you think. You don't jump into this real fast. You go back home and say, you know what, man? I don't know, man. I heard the message and everything, but man, I don't know, man. Let me think about this thing for a couple of days, man, before I... Shoot. I didn't notice. I got saved and everything when I was broke down and hurt, but I didn't know I was getting in it. I just came because I was wounded and hurt inside, and somebody told me to come to Jesus, he'll lift my burdens. But man, I didn't know, man, that hey. That's why the Lord said, before you get in this thing, you better count the cost to see if you have sufficient enough to finish. The gospel will make you contemplative. You begin to think. You begin to meditate for a minute. You'll stop for a minute and hold up.
That's right.
Man. That's right. So we're going to deal with Soldiers of Light Conference. We're going to get deep down into what's going on in Soldiers of Light Conference. So it will actually exclude those that are not for real. This is not designed to everybody come on in, and it's all inclusive and everybody is welcome. The gospel don't do that. The gospel has never worked like that. They didn't all come running to Jesus. Some of them said, hey, look, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? And many departed from him from that day on. They just walked away. Man, can't nobody deal with that. Eat your flesh and drink your blood. No, man, I came for the fishes and the bread. That's the contrast right now. Jesus was saying, interact with me and partake of me. Get to know me. That's what he meant by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. No, we came for stuff for me. I came for stuff to gratify me, stuff to feed me. I didn't come for you. The only one that Jesus, the church has to offer is Jesus. We don't have anything else. We have no promises for life. We have no promises for your success. We have no promises for money. We have no promises for careers. Jesus, that's it. But I'm looking for more than that. Well, you'll be damned. You're going to hell. Because there is no more than that. Anybody preaching anything more than that, like your best life now, Joel Osteen, every day is Friday, those happy-go-lucky motivational speeches he's giving, you better run from that trash as fast as you can. Anybody having an entertainment seminar every year, the Mega Fest, like T.D. Jakes, to entertain you, you better run from that trash as fast as you can. There is no one to see in the church but Jesus. That's it. They came to the disciples and said, we would see Jesus. A Holy Ghost awakening is needed out of everything I just told you about. I just defined and described a dead, dumbed down, arrested environment. Dry bones in church, dead, stone cold asleep, no inspiration, no power, just around. It's World War Z down here. It's a zombie apocalypse. It's the walking dead. Folks just mull around to work. Come home on Friday. You want to go out to dinner tonight? Let's go down here to the restaurant. You want to go to the mall? Let's go stop by your mama's house. Let's go back home. Let me take a bath and wash my nasty behind and get on in the bed. Get back up. Where you going to work? I got to stop by the cleaners coming back home. Let me go to the store and get something to eat tonight. Let me go home and wash the clothes. Let me go back by your mama's house to see. Let's check on her. Go back to the house. Go wash my nasty butt off. Go to bed. Wake up. Where you going? Work. And you think you're living? It's a zombie apocalypse. The walking dead. Dragging out through life controlled by the powers that be, plan out their scenarios, puppeted by the devil. He's a puppet master. You go exactly where he tells you to go every day. Controlled completely by him. No say-so about your life. You don't even want to go to work. You got to go. You hate the job. You go every day. Hate the environment. Hate everything about it. I got to go. Why? I got to pay my bill. We got to eat some kind of way. We got to. In lockstep, controlled by this master puppeteer that has cooked up a way to control everybody on this planet until you get out of the matrix. Till your mind wakes up, your soul wakes up, and you step out of the matrix and you come alive again. And you can see the matrix. You can see the game now. Now I see it. And you go to God and say, God, I need Holy Ghost power to walk through this matrix and walk above it and not let it control me, but I dictate to it. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was never dictated to by the matrix. He didn't depend on the matrix for food because he had the power to multiply food himself. He didn't need the devil. The devil had nothing in him because he didn't need him. We got a whole generation, a whole civilization that needs the devil to exist. Do you think the devil is going to deal with you fairly, with compassion, with love, even caring about you? You think your job won't lay you off? And you're totally dependent upon it. And any given day, they can walk in and say, we're cutting back today. You, y'all got to go. We already got your desk cleaned out. We put all your stuff in the box. It's out back on the loading dock. Ride around there, pick it up, and we'll see you. And they don't care nothing about you. Come down through there with pink slips. Then, hey, you got to go, Brian. Okay, Mallory, I see you. Mary, see you. Derek, see you. Sheena, we demoting you. You was making $30,000, now you're down to $10,000. Going back over there in the back room, load them boxes, and shut up. Okay, y'all. And you know what the slaves say? You need to be glad. At least you got a job. Some people ain't even got a job. And they happy. Then you just take a pay cut? 40%? At least I got a job. Yeah, but you got to live under the bridge downtown. You was making $35,000, now you down to 16 or whatever. Well, at least I got myself somewhere to work. I just want to work. For nothing? Right. And folks sit there in that, just sit there in it. And afraid to do anything outside of the matrix. Somebody come with the idea, let's try this. No, man, no, I don't know nothing about that. Look, get away from negative people as fast as you can. People who are not progressive and moving, shake them off. You better go with gusto and go with God for yourself. Because deadheads will pull you down. They're stuck in the matrix and the devil's design. Show you how you get out right here. Matthew chapter 3. We need a Holy Ghost awakening, man. Everybody walking around in this deadhead, stank world of the devil, buying into it. And a vast majority of people are absolutely offended by me for saying it. They'll sit on live stream mad. Angry. I define their church and describe it in detail, and they're mad because the spotlight is shined on it. That's how my church is. See, that guy ain't got no business talking about my preacher. They'll sit there on the plantation, bound to the master of the plantation, and offended by anybody trying to sever those chains to set them free. Now think about what I'm saying. This got to cook down into your psyche real deep. What's really got people? Chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now note, John came as Elijah. The Bible says John the Baptist was Elijah. So Jesus went to Elijah to be baptized. This is the baptism of Elijah in water. What's the baptism of Elijah? Repentance, separation. Now, you know, Jesus didn't need to repent, but Jesus needed to turn away from his upbringing. He was raised as a man by Mary and Joseph. He had to turn from his upbringing toward his destiny. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What had to be fulfilled? The water baptism is the dedication of your body to God. Jesus was now dedicating his body to God through water baptism. Water baptism is saying to God, I no longer have jurisdiction over my body. You can have it. I'm presenting it back to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to fulfill your will in my life. So you're giving him a body back through water baptism. Jesus is now consecrating himself away from his upbringing with John, with Mary and Joseph, and now he's given himself over to the baptizer in water to now turn from his upbringing and his life here toward heaven and his destiny being fulfilled. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So now you get the first identification by God that this is his Son. After water baptism and dedication, turning away from his human upbringing, he is now identified as the Son of God. Just like you'll be when you repent and turn. See, some folk won't repent and turn because they go to their mama's church, their daddy's church, their cousin's church. They are aligned with family membership over and above allegiance to God. So they won't turn to God because they're bound to their family. You got to leave your family lineage and your upbringing to come to God. Because if you don't, you'll be faithful to your family and unfaithful to God. Nobody can actually join to another person in marriage unless you first do what? Leave and forsake. For this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father, be joined unto his wife, and become one flesh. You got to leave in order to cleave. If you don't leave, you're not going to join to something else. It's nothing worse to be laying in bed as a woman with a man and his mama laying next to you. Because his mama is living in the man. Because on any given day, she can intrude into your house by talking to your husband. And now he's telling you, well, I think you just spending too much money. And I don't like how you take care of them kids because those kids are not being cared for properly. And the way you cook that food is not seasoned well enough. And you don't have enough seasoned salt on that chicken. And the way you're making that cornbread is not fluffy enough because you're not adding enough. See, that's his mama talking. His mama told him that. And now through a transference of spirits, his mama with a hand up his back is now talking to you and is tearing homes apart because you got strangers in the house. And you arguing with other folks. Commit adultery and watch the stranger show up in your house. Because that other woman is in your husband and now he's nitpicking you, arguing. Finding little flaws everywhere. Because that woman is working to destroy your home because she wants that clown you married to. See, when you got another spirit in somebody, that thing can use the mouth of that person to do its bidding and destroy everything. And you're trying to figure out, what's wrong with this nut? What are you talking about? Whenever you get somebody in front of you that you can't understand what they're saying, you're experiencing a thing called witch speak. Yeah. You can sit and look at a person's mouth and can't understand anything they're saying. That's witch speak. That's a demon.